Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I'm Christine. I am on the marketing team at Pinterest, where I work on curation of content from our users, or pinners, as you'll hear me refer to them. And I use our social channels to do some brand marketing to help amplify that message or those stories that we're collecting on Pinterest. But before we jump in, I want to make sure that everybody here today has a little bit of an understanding of what Pinterest is, because I often hear that Pinterest is a social network. At Pinterest, something that we like to say is that we're not a social network. We're actually a catalog of ideas. People come to Pinterest to collect ideas and connect with projects, not necessarily their friends. So here's an example of what I mean by that. So awesome that you might want to watch it twice. So that's just a kind of a fun video. My team often gets together. We find things that we see people doing on Pinterest, whether it's trending or maybe just something that we think is totally awesome. This Hungry Hungry Hippos game with adults just seemed really great. So we went out into a local park near our office and just did some filming and put it on Facebook. I think what's really fun about that is we try to highlight ideas that our users are putting into the Pinterest ecosystem and just show how much fun you can have with it. Again, it's about kind of getting offline and connecting with things that you're interested in. So another thing is we're all about the future at Pinterest. So our users or pinners use Pinterest to save and discover ideas, and again, not to connect with their friends. They think about Pinterest as a tool to help them discover things like what's for dinner tonight, how am I going to entertain the kids when I'm stuck inside this weekend when there's a snowstorm, or even to create new outfits with existing items in their closet. Pinners curate a home feed of ideas, recipes, products that inspire them. This means that search is hugely important on Pinterest, especially for businesses and brands. Being able to identify and interact with consumers at various points within their journey is especially important, I'm sure as all of you know. And during the inspiration and discovery phase can mean huge potential for your brand to unlock things like purchases, conversions, building brand awareness, or even just building brand equity as a consumer makes their way further and further down the purchase funnel. So while social media can help amplify your message, today we're going to talk a little bit more about how Pinterest can help drive traffic and sales, and we'll discuss opportunities within your existing content and social media strategies where Pinterest really plays well with that. We're going to talk about improving your account, making your website pin-friendly, and adjusting your existing strategy, and of course some of my favorite Pinterest pro tips. But first, a little bit more about Pinterest. Again, it's a really great place for discovering new ideas, fulfilling all of our passions and inspirations, hobbies, taking on a new skill. I like to say that it's a really personal expression platform that allows anyone to grow and discover interests that they might not already know they have. So here's how it works. Just like pinning to a cork board in real life, pinning lets you capture a bunch of different ideas and content. Each pin links back to a source for where it came from, whether that's your blog, a magazine, a website, maybe a product page. It can really be anything. So now that you understand the pin metaphor, we can talk a little bit about boards. Boards are generally driven by a theme or a unique point of view. What I mean by that is, you know, it's not just this is my clothes board. Maybe it's my winter style board. People follow and browse for boards that are essentially curated collections of topics that interest them. And for your brand, you can think about boards as things or topics that you want to be a thought leader in your space. And you can kind of build content and collect content in your profile with that in mind. This is where it kind of gets interesting. I think a lot of people think that a repin is similar to a lot of social media metrics, like a retweet or another type of engagement. But a repin isn't simply a follow or a like or an upvote. It's really a signal that someone wants to, that if someone likes or finds a piece of content so useful that they're interested in saving it, maybe revisiting it for later. And when they do that, it simultaneously puts the content back into the Pinterest ecosystem and surfaces that content into other users' home feed. This also means that your content is more than just images, of course. People want to take action on those products. They want to do those recipes. They might want to buy it later. And it also means that simultaneously, your content will continue to live on somebody's board for a long time. So what I think is really interesting about this is Pinterest pins are not just consumed and forgotten. We talk a lot about viral videos or tweets, and I think there's a ton of effort that goes into that, I know for sure, even creating that video in the park. But sometimes, you know, it's just like a moment. This Red Lobster thing and the Beyonce thing that everyone's talking about will probably be over next week. Maybe not for the Red Lobster team, but for sure, kind of like on social media, it's so fast moving. What's great about Pinterest is the life of a pin lasts over 100 days. That means people are constantly coming back to your content and referring it. Sometimes that means every single year at Christmas, they're pulling up their board and they're looking at the favorite recipes that they collected last year. Maybe it's a hairstyle they want to try once they've finally grown out their hair. What's interesting about social content is that the life of a tweet is about 30 minutes and the life of a Facebook post is about 3 hours. And we're just talking organic content here. So while a pin might have a little bit more thought behind it in terms of making sure you have a source link, making sure you have a really good pin description and a great image, it continues to last and it can be leveraged throughout your content strategy over and over again. So on Pinterest, you have a huge opportunity to reach new online audiences, not only the ones that you might connect with regularly who follow you or your brand advocates, but you also can connect with a variety of different verticals and interests. These are just some stats. We have 1 billion boards, 50 billion unique pins. So that means 50 billion things that have been indexed by our users, people like us, brands that are actually put into the Pinterest ecosystem, and 100 million monthly active users. In summary, people use Pinterest to save, discover, and do. They're discovering content in their feeds, through search, and on their boards. They're often discovering content on the internet and using Pinterest widgets, which I'll get a little bit more into, to index their own content. They're saving ideas onto their boards from around the web, and they're also taking action on their pins by clicking, going back to the source, maybe making a purchase. So now that you understand what kind of makes Pinterest so unique and special and a little bit different than just your average connecting with a brand social media network, thinking about all the content that's on Pinterest, we like to talk about how experts are really at the heart of Pinterest. And what I mean by that is that it's all human curated. There's nothing that's just automated. It's not just content being pumped into the system. Everything that enters the Pinterest ecosystem is there meaningfully, and it continues to grow in relevance based on how many other people are taking actions, engagements, whether they're liking or repinning to their boards. And in fact, the content on Pinterest, 2/3 of it is actually from businesses and brands. So there's a really awesome potential for you to interact with consumers on Pinterest because businesses and brands often are experts in different verticals, and people are willing to engage with content so long as it's good content and it's useful. So, for example, food is one of our biggest categories. There's no shortage of ideas for fresh food, everyday recipes, cooking ideas in the kitchen on Pinterest. We have 52 million, sorry, you can't really read that, but we have 52 million people that are pinning all the time about food. We have 6.4 billion unique individual food pins, and we have more than 149 million boards. So there's a huge opportunity here. Beauty and personal style is another top category, including everything from men and women's fashion to hair and beauty and men's grooming. Oops, sorry. There are more than 2 billion of these types of pins on Pinterest, and there are more than 270 million beauty boards. So whether you think personal style might not be for your brand, I guarantee that it's something your audience is interested in. One of the ways that I've seen a brand do something really interesting here is AMD, if you guys are familiar with AMD, They're a microchip processing company. Nothing super sexy about their product. They're these tiny little things that are pretty much in everybody's computer. How are they going to use Pinterest? They went and they thought about it and they were like, well, we could do really amazing office home decor spaces that really kind of is the overlap of someone that's looking to purchase their product, but like what is the most lifestyle brand aspirational approach? And it really made them part of that conversation to show really clean workspaces and interesting office organization ideas. They did a lot of other great stuff with their account, but I mean, when you look at their Facebook and Twitter page, it's just like computer chip processing, nothing super fun and cool. And they got a ton of press for this, but they also got a lot of people just interested in their account and engaging with their followers. So now that you kind of have the Pinterest lowdown, let's tackle some tips and tricks on how you can improve your profile. So I think first things first is curate with content in a pinner mindset. So think of your audience. Think of what they're interested in and find most useful. Again, going back to AMD, these computer chips that they make, not cool looking at all, but they're in most people's home and office space, and they know that that's something of interest to a consumer, and that was kind of their way to connect. Be human. Pin your content alongside products, articles, and more that are relevant in that general vertical. You want to think of your boards almost like a magazine that represent your brand and your lifestyle. So it's kind of the perfect combo of products, editorial, advertisements, brand messages that you want to get across, not just some catalog of, you know, product. Be search friendly. So when you're creating boards, writing captions, pinned captions, just keep SEO in mind. And what I mean by that is use colloquial language that people would use in search terms and thinking of your brand. Again, search is a huge area of opportunity in how your content will be discovered on Pinterest. So that said, keywords really matter, but hashtags do not. So unlike social networks, we encourage you to use your characters, not your hashtags, and definitely take full advantage of going over the 140 character limit. And finally, don't try to do it all. So have a specific point of view is really important. People don't want to follow an account and they're like, you're just kind of talking about everything. It feels really spammy. Find out what are the 3 or 4 key areas that you can kind of go deep on and own that white space when you're talking to your audience. So thinking like a pinner, when you're brainstorming for your content strategy, some best practices that we like to tell people to keep in mind is, what are the areas, again, that you want to be known for? What are topics that you're seen as naturally as a tastemaker? And what events or holidays can you help pinners with? This is something that people are constantly revisiting Pinterest every single week and month, going there for ideas, looking for ways to kind of solve a problem, maybe a hack for around the holidays. And your brand totally can help them with that. Something that's really interesting that I've seen Ziploc do a ton of is, their Tupperware and storage hacks, but of course they can talk about their own products. But a lot of times they're just highlighting some of the community's best recipes, and people really engage and follow with their content because obviously they can be talking about food, even though it's not always talking about plastic sandwich bags. So again, show inspirations and not just products. What is like the end result that maybe is going to be used in that Tupperware for Ziploc? We see them often, showing their favorite sandwiches, things that are trending on their account, things that are popular with their fans. And include business goals. So if you're thinking about yourself as a lifestyle brand, you can use Pinterest to do a variety of things, not just pin your blog content, but you could do anything like launch an entire book on there and you can show all the inspiration and the backstory. I've seen artists launch entire albums and then say like, this is all the stuff, all the quotes, all the images that inspired me. We've seen movies, actually The Age of Adeline. I don't know if any of you saw the Blake Lively film, but they did all of the different like set aspirations and inspiration and all the different fashion and looks for that movie on Pinterest. So there's a lot of different opportunities to show kind of what went into all of your thinking. So a couple more. Help with planning and ideas. Again, pinners love creating seasonal boards, but make sure that you're creating them early enough so that people are finding them and that they have some time to kind of index and search with the different types of engagements that people are going to take on them. So you might think that it's way too early to talk about Christmas in July on Facebook, and you're probably right. Your fans will probably scream at you. But on Pinterest, someone will totally save that for later, and they're not like offended by seeing it in their feed because they know that it has an intent and a purpose, and they'd like to revisit and come back to that content when maybe they're sitting down to do their Christmas planning, make those recipes. Again, be search friendly. Your profile names, boards, titles, descriptions, they all really matter. And pin like a pro. So pinning regularly is important, making sure that you're adding content that the community engages with. What I mean by that is just good content that everyone would find helpful, making sure that the links all click through, not just uploading images. And make sure that your descriptions are helpful. That way, if someone pins it with the intent of revisiting it later, they can easily understand, you know, why did I pin this? And then they'll eventually click through and maybe end up back on your blog or your site. So the 6 quick opportunities to make your pins more helpful today. Not that you want to use them all at once, but I think that if you go over your account and kind of do a cleanup and then keep these ideas in mind as you're doing more content, is detailed descriptions, instructions and how-tos, lists, text overlays, and tasteful branding. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper on a couple of these. So detailed descriptions, again, there's no 140 character limit on Pinterest. In fact, I would encourage you to take up as much space as possible. That doesn't mean be spammy, but something that you'll see here, I'm sorry, you can't really read it on the slide, Target did a really awesome description for this one pin on the far right, where instead of just saying, I think they're talking about the rug and the lamp in the image, and if you click through to that pin, it'll take you to the product page on target.com to buy that lamp. And instead of saying, you know, it's a gray lamp with this kind of base and this kind of shade, they said, you know, brighten up your room, here's a really easy way to layer rugs over things, add a new touch without having to totally redo your room. And they explained the images, the colors, the types of things that they would think a pinner would be searching for when redoing a room, just because no one's sitting down being like, I want to search just lamps, right? They want to get the inspiration, the style, and come up with the idea. So again, using keywords, that'll make a pin more likely to show up in search results. Instructions and how-tos. This helps break down complicated projects that someone might want to tackle. I think we all sit with the second screen experience, right, at night when you're watching TV and you're like, I gotta get a new entertainment system. This is a mess. Like, it's so unorganized. What do I want to do? As you're just staring at it. And I think like you're not gonna do it right now. But being able to provide a couple of steps or instructions, either in the description or on the pin itself, is really helpful for users to recall why they pinned that in the first place when they come back to it. So again, this could mean laying out kind of the giving a CTA to click through and say, you know, click through for the full tutorial. Or it could be something like the second image there is a before and after of a couple of images almost like pick stitched together. And that's really helpful because someone knows what the end goal is, but they also see like, oh, I have all of those products and I could probably recreate this myself. Text overlays, again, just giving a pinner a clear takeaway so that when they revisit later, it's easy to recall. But something that's interesting here is you'll want to make sure for 2 things. The text is really incorporated in the design of the image. This is because people like looking back at their Pinterest boards, and they really like having like a pretty aesthetically nice account. Even if the information is super useful, no one wants like this ugly advertisement looking thing. You also want to make sure that it's large enough that it's visible to read in the grid and especially on mobile, but it's not so large in font size or in characters that it's like totally taking away from the image. So again, just make sure that it kind of plays well with the image. And a good example of when you would use text overlays is curated lists. I see BuzzFeed do this all the time. The 20 best sandwich recipes, 15 types of toast, 20 things you must pack for a weekend away to LA. They're really save-worthy for pinners that are looking for great content, and they're easy to reference, but they also let users that you might not normally reach out to see that there's a variety of stuff behind that that pin, and you might actually appeal to audiences that you don't normally get to interact with. So now that you have great pins and a great Pinterest profile, let's talk a little bit about making your website or your blog a little bit more pin-friendly. And this is crucial in using Pinterest and getting the most out of your web traffic and clicks back to your site. So first, you'll need to get set up on a business account. Business accounts are free, and they do not do anything to alter your existing profile or content in any way. The only difference is you'll be able to see Pinterest analytics, and you'll be able to get more out of audience insights, gathering data about your audience, how they interact with your content, and seeing the traffic that goes back to your website. A quick overview of analytics, what's available to you once you sign up for a business account. You can go to analytics.pinterest.com, and you'll see things like profile metrics, which are your pretty standard metrics that you're probably all familiar with if anyone manages a Facebook or Twitter account, things like impressions, repins, click-throughs. You're also going to get domain metrics, which is referral traffics back to your site, specifically from Pinterest. Your most popular pins, so this is where you're seeing where people are engaging with your content, and that doesn't always mean the thing that has got the most repins or the most likes. Sometimes it's the most close-ups when they want to expand the image or clicking back to your site. Maybe they're not saving it because they don't find that your content is aesthetically pleasing for one of their boards, but they might find it really useful. This is really important with men. Something that we see on Pinterest is that men search and use it almost like they would use a Google image search to find ideas and projects, but they're not always saving it to a home decor board. They just want to know right now, like, oh, this is the tutorial, this is the page, this is how I can get it done. Device reporting, again, how your audience is interacting with your content. Finding out something like more of them are Android users, mobile, might be really important when you're kind of looking at your content strategy or redoing your website overall. And just your audience insights. Who is it that's interacting with your content from both your profile and from your domain? I'm going to get a little bit more into that. And then you can also take a look at top interests. So it's a visual grid of what your audience is interested in. And this can give you great ideas for your content strategy across social, email, blog, elsewhere. Basically, I use this all the time to influence editorial calendars. And when I work with brands, they're constantly telling me things like, wow, you know I had a huge female following. And of course, they're interested in fashion, but my brand maybe sells clothes, but they're also really interested in home decor. What does that mean for me? Like, I don't sell any home decor items. Why would I talk about home decor? It might mean, you know, shooting your lookbook more at home and showing people like the home, the really cozy space that your clothes are shot in, instead of these like travel and getaway. Something that J. Crew and Madewell often use Pinterest analytics, and then they unveil their entire lookbook and their catalogs on Pinterest like this. And what's interesting is they can use these insights to kind of influence their upcoming, you know, editorial shoots and find out like, oh, people really love this location, or actually they want to just see it, like, what does that look like at a holiday party, or what does it look like in their living room? So now we'll talk a little bit more about tools. Widgets are something that allows for a real-time snapshot of your audience and your Pinterest activity. Using these will allow you to just get more insights, not only from how your content is performing within the Pinterest ecosystem, but how it's getting added into the Pinterest ecosystem. And it's really great to to embed a widget within your existing content, like emails and blogs. So the different types of widgets we have that you're probably most familiar with are the pin and board widgets. You'll often see these at the footer of an article or the bottom of a, you know, an email where it says follow our profile, and then there's maybe like a board that's embedded. What's really great about these, especially for brands that publish a ton of content in blogs, is that these widgets help content in a cyclical nature. So I actually was just talking to the food editors at the New York Times last week, and we say to them, you know, every single Monday you do a Meatless Monday post on Twitter where you say, make this vegetarian dish tonight. And people that are interested in doing it can find that one vegetarian dish. They go to the New York Times site to get the recipe. At the footer of the email or the blog post, they have all of these other vegetarian dishes, right? Because they've embedded their board with all of their past Meatless Monday recipes. You end up on Pinterest, where you're just perusing a collection of New York Times vegetarian recipes. Click one of them, you end up back on the New York Times, click the board, you go back to Pinterest, and it just kind of ends in this cyclical nature that keeps people engaging with either your brand on Pinterest or driving them back to your content on your website or blog. And then the pin it button. So the pin it button is really a no-brainer. Adding it to your site gives others a chance to add your content or product to Pinterest, meaning that people can save and discover your content within the Pinterest ecosystem, even if they're not on Pinterest. I know that I have it installed on Chrome, but you can also install the pin it button with like the hover option over images across your website. And this gives you unique access to audience insights on what people are doing around the web and how they're kind of pinning your content, even if they're not on Pinterest again. the hover option also increases a ton of pinning from your site. You'll often see this on a BuzzFeed article, where they have the hover, like, if you hover over the image, it'll pop up and say pin it. And that just allows people, if they don't have time to read it all, reference it later, and they want to save it almost like a bookmark onto one of their boards. It's also a really easy way for you to scale releases or future products, because you just add the piece of code to the website, and then anytime you upload an image or a blog, the pin it hover button will always appear over those images, so you don't have to go like full scale scheduling all of this content. And rich pins. Rich pins are something that, if you guys are pinners, you've probably seen them a lot of times on recipes. They include a little bit of extra information on the pin itself, so it's almost like showing someone that you have authority and that this is like a vetted, verified pin. Include article pins, which often have headlines, maybe the author and the lead of the story, and you can do this for your blog. Recipe pins include ingredients, cooking time, serving information. Product pins include real-time pricing, availability, where you can buy it. What's great about product pins is if you have this enabled and you do a sale on your website, we have price drop notifications. So if someone saved it to their board, they'll automatically get an email, hey, that shirt that you pinned is now $15 instead of $30, and you don't have to do like an email blast, we're having a sale. They just automatically get that information. And it's wanted, right? Because they've already taken the action and sent the signal that they want this on their board to maybe purchase for later. Place pins include maps, addresses, phone numbers of businesses. These are really great. I've seen people do a lot of city guides, a lot of travel. I myself always make a guide and send them to my friends when they ask me, hey, I'm visiting San Francisco, what are the 20 things I have to do? Movie pins include ratings, cast members, reviews, and app pins. This is for iOS only currently, but if you have an app, it's a really great way to get your app discovered outside of the App Store, which is a little hard to navigate sometimes in terms of, you know, making sure that people download. And finally, buyable pins. Buyable pins are currently US only, and they're available within your app on iOS or Android. To enable buyable pins, you'll have to go to our website, and you can find out if your merchant partners, like Shopify is one of them, work with our or are compatible with our merchant platform. But you'll see that buyable pins have a little blue button next to the original pin it, the red button. And essentially on mobile, if you click the buy it button, you have like a two-step checkout process, and you can get that product right away. So this is our business site and our developer site. The business site has tons of great guides on analytics, creating great pins, everything that I kind of talked through today, updated case studies from other businesses and blogs. And then the developer site is where you'll get all the documentation for how you can enable rich pins, the pin it button and widgets. I think a lot of times when I tell people, oh, go to the developer site, they're like, I have to get, you know, an engineer or someone to do this. And it's actually really simple. I embed pins in boards in the footers of emails all of the time. There's just an easy piece of code. So I highly encourage you to take a look at it. So very quickly, because I know we only have a couple more minutes, we're going to do a quick promoted pins overview just so that you can understand what promoted pins are. They're just like regular pins, only they're seen by more people and through targeted placements. They're different than other digital media buys in that they're a natural part of the pinner ecosystem. So what I mean by that is this is not a right rail ad that you're getting on Facebook. It's not interrupting your feed maybe when you're looking at a conference hashtag on Twitter and it's advertising some totally unrelated product to you. These are pins that are surfaced when people are looking for content either in that vertical or with those exact terms. So you're going to get women's fashion pins and targeted placements in feeds maybe when you're browsing something like looking for women's jeans or outfits to wear. You're not going to just get like some other type of piece of content that doesn't really fit. And they amplify reach to relevant audiences to show up alongside organic content in the feed when people are searching. And because brands are essential to Pinterest, they often contain content that is welcomed and useful to pinners, which means that they perform alongside organic content, sometimes just as well, if not better. And we often see that pinners don't find the content, as long as it's great content, disrupting, which means that they like to engage with the pins and don't mind pinning it even though it is an ad. Pinterest is also one of the few platforms that allows brands the opportunity to own the consumer experience with their content end to end. So from the look of your pin to the behavior of how you want it targeted and to where you want to drive people to, you can really own the entire experience. So before we jump into questions, I just have one last video to kind of spark some creativity and imagination and kind of show you all about what Pinterest is all about. This is a really fun project that my team and I did based on a pin that we saw trending, or a couple of pins we saw trending this summer. We went to Philly and we did an outdoor pop-up theater movie night, and we used all like 20 pins or something that we found exclusively on Pinterest. All right, that's it. Thank you. So I think we have about 5-10 minutes for questions. Sure.
Sorry. All right, here we go. You're first.
Great presentation. Huge fan of Pinterest. In regards to using promoted pins, I know when I log into several of my clients' accounts, promoted pins are already on the feed without any keywords being entered. How do those get there?
When you log into the account?
Yes. Or they just show up natively on the feed, you know, as you're looking at what your friends or the people you've been following are pinning.
Oh, you mean when you're logging into Pinterest accounts and you see ads in the home feed? Sure. So basically, we create an interest graph on the back end, and then we can do targeted placements. There's a difference between promoted pins and picked for you. Picked for you are organic pins that are generated. There's an algorithm that generates an interest for you, and those will show up in your home feed. The promoted pins, they kind of look similar, but it's just content that we're surfacing to you, and we're guessing that you're probably interested in it based on your activity on Pinterest. Promoted pins are once you're searching, and then once you've engaged with a brand or a promoted pin, they can be targeted to you in your home feed in a couple of different placements, based again on content that you've signaled that you like. So it usually means that you've already taken action from that brand, so they're going to show you a related product. Yeah.
Hands again.
We don't currently have a Pinterest account, but there's some interest in doing it for our business, and we're architects and interior designers, and so we'd be interested in sharing content from our projects.
Yeah.
The issue being is that our photography isn't owned by us. Technically, it's copyrighted to the photographers that we work with. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering, like, how do other people handle that?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, early when Pinterest started, there was a problem with people pinning stuff from all over the web, especially with Flickr. And photographers were constantly saying, you know, I'm not getting like the royalties or the link backs. And what's interesting about just web content in general and images is if it's on the internet, it's on the internet no matter what. So if that photo exists, you can definitely pin it and then add your link to it to drive people back. I would obviously, like good community standards, you want to credit the photographer or maybe drive people or a shout out to them in your blog content and your website. I probably wouldn't upload photos that are taken from other people that are not on the internet. But again, if it's there legally, you can pin it so long as it references things online.
Hands up.
I was just curious about other B2B brands beyond the microchip one you mentioned that you see doing really great things on Pinterest.
Yeah, as I mentioned, AMD is a great one to follow. Not necessarily B2B, but a lot of financial institutions use Pinterest in an interesting way. I used to actually work with PayPal, and they use Pinterest to highlight their consumers and their stories and kind of show a well-rounded picture of the different ways people could use their products. Another one is, I mean, Amex has Small Business Saturday, so they're constantly highlighting small merchants and just kind of putting themselves into the conversation. I think, again, like for B2B, there's a lot of different ways that you can do it, so long as you think kind of what are the three things that we're known for and what is the consumer angle. I kind of always joke, like, with my friends, if you can say in an elevator pitch and explain to someone who has no idea what tech is, the words that come out are probably the things that you could create a board around.
Again, a big fan of Pinterest personally, as well as with what we're doing at U-Haul. One of my questions is, in the analytics for the domain pins, I love that. But as far as from what I've seen, you can only put in one web address on there. We have a couple blogs that we also, you know, send traffic to. Is there a way to put in more than one URL for the web address, or how would you kind of look for that? Because we look back at the domain pins quite frequently.
Yeah, that's a good question. So a lot of times people will, do you have a redirect on your blog, or is it hosted like on a Tumblr or something like that? Okay. So a lot of times people, the way to get around it is to have it branded with the initial domain that you verify. But I believe you can go in and add a couple more now. It's just that when you sign up for a business account, you have to claim your domain first, because only, obviously, one Pinterest account should have access to your domain analytics, and it should be you. We don't want everybody being able to see U-Haul's domain analytics. But I think that you can track blog content now. The other thing that you could do as a workaround is if you're looking at analytics on your WordPress blog, you can kind of put together both the referral traffic that comes from Pinterest and then obviously look at the content that's engaged with from your pins.
Hands up.
Yeah.
All right. That is all the time we have for questions. I am so sorry. I know we could ask about Pinterest all day. For those of us that love Pinterest, there are thousands of questions burning. Let's give a round of applause for Christine and Pinterest. Thanks so much.
Thank you.